the beginning of every show, so feel free to send them to me. Coming up in the program, Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com join me in studio once again. This is a feature that we do once a month where we focus on alternative sexuality, since lots and lots of people, it seems, according to studies, are in fact into far more kinkier things than people really admit to freely. It's still a bit of a taboo subject, but we want to gain a greater understanding, which is why we talk about it. So tonight we'll talk about the origins of this, like where does it all come from? Torture you, take my hand to the flame. I torture you,
I'm a slave to your games. Your relationship's on the line. Connect with Dr. Lori now, 514-790-0800. Passion, News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Tonight, alternative sexuality, where we focus on the kinky side of sex. Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com join me. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks always, for having us.
Oh, always great to see you guys. So tonight I thought we would do something. We'd answer this question because this came in last night on our Trouble Tuesdays episode, and I thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to save this for Pierre and Catherine because it gives us a segue into discussing the origins of BDSM. Like, people often want to know, well, where the hell does this come from? Like, why do I feel I need this? So this person wrote in, I like it when women pull my pants down. Is something wrong with me? My last casual sex partner told me I was sadistic for saying I like it when women pull my pants down. I think she meant masochistic, right? Not sadistic. At age 10, the 8-year-old sister of my friend, also 10, often pantsed me when playing ball tag, then found it funny, but I did not mind it. Whereas the friend screamed in horror when other kids did it to him. So there's a difference, right? Here's one kid who seemed to get some charge out of it, and whereas somebody else was horrified by it and now has carried it into adulthood. But it sounds to me like it translates into having women pull your pants down means having women dominate.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. We have a friend who's a submissive, and he knew exactly the moment that he became aware that he was BDSM. And what it was is he was educated and there were nuns.
Okay.
And at one point he had done something, and as a punishment, they made him kneel as all the kids were coming in the school.
Wow.
And it just triggered something, and from then on he was a sub. He liked it. He there was something about it.
So at the time it didn't feel like a punishment anymore, I guess.
That's right. And that was, I mean, a lot of people we talk to can clearly pinpoint the
moment.
You know, with me, for instance, there isn't a specific time. I mean, I remember as a kid watching the old John Wayne movies, mm-hmm. and you know, he'd grab her and mm-hmm. it'd be like, oh, you know, that's kind of interesting. And I think it's something about the taboo where I think some people are, it's just kind of, they're wired that way. And other people, they, you know, they're an adult. They've never really thought about it. They get a partner. They want to spice things up. Well, let's try this. And then it's the ooh. And
right.
They start to see things on TV and stuff. Yeah.
So I have to say there aren't many studies around this, but even in terms of the identifying what it is, like when you start looking at statistically how many people are practitioners, you find studies that go from 2% to 60% of the population, but because it depends on how you define it, right? So if you take fantasy into account, there's more than half of the population that is into BDSM. If you factor in
role-playing,
the fantasies. Yeah. Because when you factor in fantasies, 50% of the population have fantasies of domination and submission. Half of the population,
wow.
If not more. So more than half. But if you do in terms of practitioners, you're going to find a much lower number, of course. But it's again, like, how, when does fantasy translate into reality? It doesn't for a lot of people, but for many, they do want to try it. So it's interesting because it's very hard to pinpoint how many people consider themselves kinky.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that are kinky that don't think they are.
Right.
And like, we'll talk to people and it's like, well, you know, we're not into all that crazy stuff, but you know, we, well, we do use scarves to tie up and we do give a little spanking and we do that, but right. It's like, you know, it's not kinky. It's just like a little fun thing we do. And they don't have to realize, you know, sometimes even something as simple as a missionary position, but you're holding your hands down.
Right. Restrictive movement.
Restrictive movements. I mean, That's
part
kinky.
Of it.
That's
so again, it. I think what we've learned is that there's a scale,
yep.
Right? There's a spectrum or a continuum of stuff.
Yes.
It is interesting because you're talking about things that are that happened to people when they were young.
Mm-hmm.
There's the taboo part of it that it's interesting that you have to address too. The dare type of thing, you know, we're not supposed to be doing this, so let's do it, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
There's the, for the young people, it's not always something that is traumatic. Sometimes it's just something they have seen or it reminds them of a good time they were having when they were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this gentleman that we met, he was into diaper. Mm-hmm. And he was quite honest about the fact that he liked to wear them because when he was a baby, mom would take care of him. You know, she would wash him. She would.
Sure. It's about being a baby. Right. That's the whole baby fetish, right? It's
exactly.
The adult baby fetish.
And he wanted this back. So, again, you can see there's really a lot of reason for people doing BDSM in different ways. So it's mm-hmm. it's really wide, this topic.
I think even a lot of vanilla things, what they consider vanilla excitement still comes from your childhood or something that was triggered.
Sometimes, but sometimes it's simply just the evolution of our sexuality, yeah, which doesn't have to be triggered by anything, right? It's just, it's whatever can be instinctive, learned, what we've seen, what we've watched, what we expect. There's all kinds of stuff. But I do want to share a study that was done, probably the only one that I could find, where they asked, like, what first attracted you to BDSM? And they asked people to describe the reasons why you first became interested in BDSM as a sexual practice or orientation. What they found was that they identified two mutually exclusive explanations for initial BDSM interest. One was it was an intrinsic part of the self, so more of an orientation, or the interests developed because of some kind of external influence, like being introduced to it by a partner or being, yes, you know, something like that. So, and there wasn't really any gender differences, although a greater proportion of men than women cited intrinsic self, like they cited it as more of an orientation,
huh,
in the men more than the women. So that was interesting in terms of that. Yeah. And we see this anecdotally, right? I mean, we don't have many studies of people coming out with their BDSM stories to really find out, like, how much of an orientation is it? Because I know in talking to people who are real, like, practitioners on a regular basis, they feel it is a part of them.
It is.
Right.
Well, I think it's my orientation.
You would consider it an orientation.
Absolutely. You know, and I think there are people who's their orientation, but they're non-practicing because they don't have a partner. Because they're worried about their partner's reaction, that they're going to think sick or
worried
or
about
get it mixed up, that they're sadistic or suddenly think, you know, because you like spanking, are you a pedophile because you think of spanking kids? Or, mm-hmm, I mean, people get really mixed up with the ideas about it.
But again, it's one of the reasons we do the show is to avoid these kinds of misconceptions and
exactly,
kind of break down some of these myths.
Yeah, and many don't do it or they don't go into it because they're afraid what other people are going to say, even if it's something that is very personal, mm-hmm. what if they find out, what are, you know, that's something we have.
It's interesting. I think times are changing. I you're right that it's a very private thing, and but more and more people are exploring this publicly, like in are going out and meeting other people and going to parties. And
yet we meet a lot of people who want to keep this behind doors.
Okay. Really behind doors.
Yep. And it's, I thought at the beginning it was something with age or generation, but I have found younger adult that do it.
Same thing.
Same thing. So I'm not sure what to think about this.
So still taboo.
Well, it is. I mean, there's lots of things of sexuality like that have been accepted as they should, like, you know, trans or gay or bi mm-hmm. and stuff. But you tell somebody you're kinky, and it's not always well accepted. It's a lot easier for me as a woman to people like, oh, and you're into BDSM, ooh, right? Than it is like for Pierre, because mm-hmm. they'll look at Pierre like, oh, you like to beat women, eh? Ah, you know, and right. and it's a whole different reaction right, that right, he right. will get than I will get.
Interesting. 514-800. If you have any questions about BDSM, about the origins of it, if you have any of your own theories about it, if you know anybody, if you've been in a relationship where somebody introduced it, how you felt about it, and really any questions that you have, Pierre and Catherine are here. They are from BDSMcircle.com. It's a website that is chock full of information for anybody navigating this world. There's all kinds of articles that you can research, look into, and find out about, and also meet other people who may be involved in this as well. Tonight we focus on kink with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMcircle.com. All right, let's talk about choking for a minute. Choking is something that, I don't know, it seems to be the most common symbol of BDSM.
It's popular.
And for young people.
Mostly young? You think yes. it's mostly popular with young people?
They right now, what I have seen and what I have read is they do it because they had their sexual information from the internet. So when you look at porn, there's always the guy choking the mm-hmm. lady. And
they, well, not always, but there's a lot of videos where that happens.
Let's just say that it's more than average. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they believe that it's the way to do it. And they don't realize it's a dominant way of doing things. And,
well, it's also, unless it's consensual, it would be kind of scary, I would think.
Well, the same way I think some of the ladies, the younger generation, believe it's okay to be done,
to be choked.
To be choked because they're watching the same damn movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I find that it's 35 and under.
Okay.
Mostly, the vast majority. It's also usually done without any pre-negotiation. We've talked to many people who is like, we're having great sex and suddenly he wants to choke me. Or, you know, I'm going at her and suddenly she wants me to choke her and it yep. was like a cold shower.
Right.
And we have a couple of close friends that actually aren't into BDSM that talked to us about that. And it was like, I just didn't know what to do. I didn't want to hurt her. I just like, this wasn't fun for me. But there's every occasion that I know of, there was no pre-negotiation. And it seems to be something like, you know, I mean, they're asking like during the act.
Right. Which shouldn't know, be, right?
I mean, it's better to ask even if it is during the act than just do it.
Well, of course, better to ask. Of course. But as in most BDSM, better to negotiate ahead of time.
Oh, gosh, yes.
So what are the dangers that we can encounter with choking? And how does one do this without killing somebody?
There's different techniques. Some of the older players that are into choking, are using some special gas mask that have been modified.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's like a whole other level. Yeah. I'm talking about like your average person that says, choke me.
But
you know?
The thing is they want to restrict the breathing, not to stop it.
Right.
Okay. So when you're choking someone, are you restricting the breathing or you're choking? I mean, yeah.
What people won't understand is they'll think, Well, she's still breathing and not realize that it's restricted. So you can cause brain damage and damage by it being restricted. So, yes, they're still breathing, but they're not breathing well enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think this comes from the same as ideas, auto-asphyxiation.
Yeah, autoerotic asphyxiation, thank
you,
right?
Mm-hmm. Is when you're doing it to yourself.
Right.
But the idea is that you will get lightheaded. Right. And it makes the orgasm better. This is from what I understand.
Yes.
However, it's damn dangerous. If you're getting lightheaded, it's because your brain isn't getting enough oxygen.
Right.
I strongly suggest nobody practices it. Not that anybody listened to me. But
well,
I think
you're here to warn people.
I think
it's okay.
It's a dangerous. I think it really needs to be. If this is truly your kink, you need to have signals. You need to have that. And if your goal is to get lightheaded every time, sooner or later you're going to keep pushing the envelope and you're going to, it's going to bite you.
Right. And also to know, I'm thinking if you're asking, let's say it's a female, you're asking your male partner to choke you when he's in his passion moment, like the force used, you know, sometimes yep. you don't know your own strength and like the points on your neck that you may be restricting, like to me, that just sounds potentially far too dangerous.
The neck is quite fragile when you look at it. For women, when they want to defend themselves, they would say, "If you can hit the attacker into
the neck, right?
The neck, yeah. There's a reason for that. A man and different people have different." You need different strength to do things with them, and mostly an S&M. And I think it's the same thing. Some people you will need to tighten more than other people. So you cannot, there's no general rule about this.
Right.
And it's still quite dangerous. I mean, I'm not comfortable just to see people practicing this without no negotiation, no research. They don't know what they're doing.
I'm curious from our listeners if anybody has ever, again, this is anonymous, so just let us know. It's okay. Have you ever been choked? Have you ever been asked to be choked?
Is it a matter of domination or submission, or is it for you something that you're doing to make the orgasm better for your partner?
See, there's two different things. There's erotic asphyxiation. Autoerotic asphyxiation is when you asphyxiate yourself, like when you do breath play with yourself. Erotic asphyxiation is when you're doing it on somebody else, but that is the goal is to get lightheaded, like you said.
Exactly.
That's the goal. But in choking, that's a different, to me, that's different. Choking and erotic asphyxiation are two different things.
But which one are they doing?
Yes. What is the goal? Is the goal because it's a form of dominance, the choking? Being choked is a form of dominance?
Submission.
So is it that? To me, I've heard more people talk about the choking part rather than the erotic asphyxiation.
So it's domination.
Part of domination.
I think they haven't researched, so they're calling it choking, but they're trying to get a better orgasm at it, so it's really the erotic asphyxiation.
Well, I wonder. Right. Well, that's
but
what I
I'd
wonder.
I'd love to
I don't
hear
know.
From people. You know, educate me. Tell me. Call in.
Yeah.
You know,
I'd love
or
to
text
hear.
In.
Yeah. This is, again, let's be real, a taboo topic.
It really
Once
is.
Again. So I'm not sure we'll get too many people calling in or texting in with this, but you never know. You never know. So
it's
we'll see.
Pretty prevalent.
But again,
it's prevalent, but people don't talk about this kind of stuff.
And it's because there's judgment.
Yes. Well, there's no judgment here. How's that?
No, I'm just saying be safe.
We want to learn. We want to learn from you as well. Is this something that you... that you practice? Is this something that's been asked of you even? Because I do know some women I've heard from guys whose partners have asked them for that. And sometimes, you know, might be freaked out a little bit by it and maybe not quite know what to do about it. So it's definitely something that we...
For sure. And as you were kind of saying, there's always the danger of, you know, he's in his moment, so to speak.
Yeah. Let's go to the lines. I'm not sure who this is. I don't have the name on here. Hello. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. What's your name?
Jane.
Hi, Jane.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. What do you want to share with us?
Well, for me and my boyfriend, I'm the one doing the choking.
Okay. You choke him?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's not for, you know, to hurt him or anything. For us, it's just, for me anyways, it's just power. Like, I'm
so it's a form of domination.
Domination,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm on top of him and I'm squeezing. You know, it doesn't go further than that. I mean, you know, we're not trying to, I don't want him to pass out or anything.
Right.
But that's what it is for us.
Do you have signals, Jane? Like, how do you know when you're going too hard or not? Like,
I think he would let me know.
So he would let you know. Okay.
I mean, it's never gone to, you know, like, it's just the action. I mean, how can I say it? Just the
dominant. You want to dominate him, right? And he wants to be submissive to you in that way.
He loves it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for sharing with us, Jane. Appreciate it.
Great call.
Well, there you go.
I'd love to know if she does other forms of domination as well.
Oh well, too late for that. But we'll come back to more choking discussions because people do have some stuff to say about that. Talking BDSM tonight, and more specifically right now, talking about choking. Behavior. This is something that seems to be very common. I don't know if it's the influence of porn. Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com think it is. They see it more in the younger generation, but they have their reservations about it simply because of the safety component to it. We have James on the line. Hi, James. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Doctor. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good, thank you. It was that first time caller here.
Oh, welcome. Took you long enough.
Well, when I noticed that nobody was calling in, I was quite surprised.
But why? Were you surprised because you know that lots of people are into choking?
Well, like the gentleman that you have with you there, like how he was explaining that there's many types.
Right.
Many types. So you can simply just have your hand placed on her neck. You can apply pressure. You can... go to that passing out mode like you were talking about. But I definitely think that it does fall under the same category as if you were pulling hair or slapping or some sort of...
Right.
Domination.
Yeah, some form of domination.
Exactly. But that's what I would have to say is it has definitely to do with domination. Definitely with a younger crowd.
Okay.
That I can see it happening, unless, well, excuse my term, maybe I shouldn't use that term.
Don't swear on my show.
It's more of a category of calling them like an older generation of MILF.
Oh, okay.
So maybe they're more excited and want to look at other options, but it's that category of woman also, or that guy. It really depends on how that person is.
Have you ever been asked to choke somebody?
I don't think it's more of an ask. You kind of go with the flow.
Okay.
But it's not like you kind of plan it out. Like, yeah.
But that may be where the danger lies. I think that's where Pierre and Catherine were getting at, is like for most of BDSM, it's like pre-negotiated. It doesn't just go with the flow because sometimes you need to be able to have safe words and things like that. So that the going with the flow could potentially get you into some more trouble, I guess.
Different dangerous stages
where
it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't want to go too far into subject of I'm trying to be as clean as I can.
As long as you use the proper terminology, we're good here.
Well, yeah, it is, but you know, there's not necessarily just choking with the hands.
Okay.
And using your body part, the male body part, could also be as a choking, you know,
You mean forcing somebody to like gag like that, like through oral sex?
Exactly.
Ah.
So that's another type of choking I would consider also, because you're also cutting off the airflow, right?
As long as it's consensual, as long as the person on the receiving end wants it.
Exactly. exactly, but it falls under the whole category of choking.
Okay, I hadn't thought of that. You're right. That's one form of choking. Thanks for bringing that to light, James. I hadn't thought of that one. Thank you. Appreciate your call very much. Take care. This text writes, my friend, a prominent American businessman, killed himself through autoerotic asphyxiation.
One of those,
because there is no one to save you when you go too far.
Yep. You lose conscience.
David Carradine.
Once you lose, yeah, David Carradine was one of them. Once you lose consciousness, that's it. Like, there's a fine, there's a tipping point that's so fragile. That's just that you can just go 1 second too much.
Suicide with the pants down.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, there's been plenty of even young people who have been found in their bedrooms and parents not knowing, like he wasn't depressed, with nothing going on, but they still found stuff, cords and things like that. And these are kids, teenagers, who were probably practicing autoerotic asphyxiation, like cutting off circulation to the point while masturbating, wanting to get this extra high. But the danger is just...
There's supposed to be technique that makes it safer, but when I look into them, there's nothing that is foolproof.
Of course not.
And I think all of these examples you're giving are good example of what...
Of bad...
Bad things.
Bad things, exactly, of bad consequences.
Yeah.
Well, it's scary how many people actually do it.
Yep.
And how many people who've obviously been doing it for a year, because it's very elaborate and, you know, it's basically suicide and, you know, but his pants were down. We don't understand it. Right. Well, right. Guess what? I can tell you what he was doing.
Right. Well, for a while we didn't have the language to describe it either. Yes, I think this has been going on for a very long time, but people didn't have the words to know what kind of play this is. We're only now talking more, even though BDSM has been around for thousands of years. There's evidence of it way back 5,000 years ago. But we only have a language for it in recent years, like in the 60s. You know, right. Like that's really when it started to be identified. So this autoerotic asphyxiation, I mean, okay, I heard about it maybe 30 years ago, but that's relatively new in language, right?
Exactly.
Something you have to understand quickly is an S&M, you have to know what you're doing to your partner, the effect of it. And when you're choking someone, you don't know the effect of it. So this is why it's so dangerous.
So please do your research. Really?
Well, it's more than research.
And have safe words.
Safe words.
Yes. Or a safe signal.
And please do it consensually.
Yes.
Don't just get in the middle of sex and start doing something and surprise your partner. Yeah. Negotiate it beforehand. Find out if it's something your partner wants, likes, etc. Well, we've run out of time. One more show in the can for us with Alternative Sexuality. They are Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com are here the first Wednesday of every month. So if you have questions about BDSM, we'll answer them on that particular night. Thank you so much for contributing to our show. Thank you to Dave Maroney in Master Control, our technical producer. You can find me on social media at Dr. Lori Batito or through my website, drlori.com. Coming up next on CJD, the CTV National News. Have a great rest of the evening and remember to live your life with passion. You don't know the things you do to me.